Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples.
Marshall Fant, welcome back to GFA Missions ReChurch. So glad to have you. If you are either watching on YouTube or listening on your favorite audio platform, we thank you for tuning in and listening to us. So today we've got really a request from our board came through to do several podcasts with my wife Gretchen on questions for pastor's wife. So Gretchen, welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to make a correction. I think I said a podcast or two ago we're doing five. We're doing four, okay? So it'll be a series of four, and this is the last one. And again, appreciate any input. And by the way, any other podcast topics you got, you always can email me at mfant@gfamissions.org, mfant@gfamissions.org, and be happy to see if we can put one together to answer those questions. So again, this is for pastors' wives, but I trust pastors will listen as well so they can know how maybe to support their wives in the role that God's given them. So again, Gretchen, thanks for this time, and this is the fourth podcast. Today's going to be a little bit different. We're addressing, now this is the topic, and you take it two different ways of really of keeping your focus in ministry, or as one person put it, don't lose your walk with God while doing the work of God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so don't lose your walk with God while doing the work of God. And really, as Gretchen and I sat down and tried to really to come up with some ways to talk through this, where we really want to go, where there were three key verses that God gave, or three key passages God gave Gretchen to really, to, as she was focusing on ministry and her walk with God and doing ministry. But in doing so, there are always things that come up, and so that's kind of what we're going to walk through. Right, Gretchen, you got any other introduction comments you want to make?
Yes, I'd just like to say that I really believe, and I feel this way, that ministry is a privilege, and I never would want to be come across as like, woe is me, and or something like that. Ministry is a real privilege, and I can't imagine doing anything else. And I'm very thankful that God has given us the opportunity to do that. But there are hard things. It's probably also, it's a privilege, but it's also probably the hardest thing that you could do. That's just my opinion, because there are things that come up and that we'll talk about that you really can't do it on your own. You have to have God, you have to have His Word. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, and I think what I would like for the listeners to take away from this is really God's Word is sufficient. Mm-hmm. And through the anxiety, the fears, even when the pastor, husband and his wife may not be communicating as well as we should, or either we're distracted or you got a lot going on and each is trying to fulfill their role, not to be a burden to the other one, that really we must keep our walk with God and in God's Word. So really, so Gretchen, let's launch into it. It's the first, one of the first things. And as we talk through it, and I think it's not unique just to you, but while you're doing the ministry and focusing on the ministry, as I set this up, so the first part we want to cover, the situation was this. We were replanting a church in Rock Hill, and we were on missionary support for the first 3 years. So you feel the pressure not only of church ministry, but you've got people sacrificially giving. So you can do the ministry. The ministry was not well established in our city. We were meeting anywhere from, during this time, probably either in a museum or a storefront or maybe a house. So it was not like it was an established ministry in the city. So there was a lot of fear or a lot of just, okay, God, what's really going on? So Gretchen, as I set that up and kind of the fear and anxiety you faced, and then God gave you a passage. So I set it up. Now you run with that.
Okay. Yes. I did not even think about or realize that I was fearful. And secondly, I did not, even if I had, I guess I maybe knew a little bit, I was a little bit that way, but I didn't connect it with my walk with God. I didn't connect it with my my relationship with God. And went on for years that I always felt, and fear, anxiety, it's the same thing. And I was just afraid that I would, you know, I would look around the church and I would think, you know, if all these people left, how would we even pay the bills? We just have to go home, you know? And I would have all these thoughts. And it sounds like a real, you know, oh, that's so sweet. You know, no, it's not. It's lack of trust, and it's not living by faith, and it's not a good thing. But well into our ministry, I was reading a book on church conflict because we did have some conflicts like any other church. But I was reading a book on church conflict, and there was a quote in there that he talked about. He said he called it a swirling vortex of fear. Then he listed some things: the loss of control, the ruin of reputation, financial catastrophe, theological error, fear of failure, all these things. And that was really the first time I realized that that was me, that I was operating out of fear. And to add to that, you know, you're supposed to be ministering to people in love, and I did love all the people at our church. But I think I was fearing them. I was ministering from fear and not out of love. And so to add to all that was the thing of, what if they found out that I was ministering out of fear and not out of love, and how horrible that would be. So that was when I really came to realize that I needed to do something about this, but I didn't know what to do. And then, is that good? Did you have another question about that?
That's good. Yeah. So you were, that's reality. That's where we were.
That was where I was.
Yeah. Because part of it is, okay, and we didn't have that many people, but if they left, then there's failure.
Right.
And you got supporters, and, you know, we had already transitioned to a new city and left the business world, and all this was upon us. And if it didn't happen, then that's a big fat failure, and we're living in the fear of man.
Yes. Okay. And the way I was, some people may not relate to that at all. And I don't know if I would have felt that way if we'd gone to an established church. Our church got down to like 12 people at one time, and 7 of them were us. So we had, you know, it was definitely a replant. There was almost, you know, barely no one there. And so I don't know whether this is typical, but if you read something in a book about fear in the ministry, then you probably it's not just me. So I've had a practice really since I became a believer, almost, that I would, before I'd read the word, I would pray that God would open my eyes. And I try to remember that every time. But as I was reading the word once in the midst of my fearful state, I was reading in Colossians, and the verse in Colossians is talking, it said, for chapter 1 of Colossians was that beautiful passage that about Christ and his wonder and majesty and all, and that. And in verse 17, it says, and he, 16, all things were created through him and for him. And then 17, this is the verse that God really used. It says, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And the interesting thing at where the next verse says, and he is the head of his body, the church.
Okay.
But it was mainly that portion that says, and in him all things consist, some translations say, or and the one I was reading said, in him all things hold together. And it was so, it was life-changing for me, because I felt as if the Lord was saying to me, you little proud thing, you thinking you're, I felt like if I did anything wrong, that the church was going to fall apart and we were going to disappoint all these people and it was y'all my fault. You know, it was so self-centered. And here he's saying, I felt like he was saying to me, I hold the church together. You don't. It's my church. It's God's church. It's not my church. And I, the way I was conducting myself was really very, very faithless. And it was a real eye-opener to me. And I think a word directly from the Lord himself that helped me to settle down.
Good. And so if another, which I'm sure many are, and even pastors struggle with this, okay, it's not just pastors' wives, but we're dealing with the topic of pastors' wives. So I think a part of this, when you were fearing, I think the two things you said that really helped you were just time, your time in God's word, and then this time of us sitting down and talking through everything.
Right. Yes, I think you have to, those are the two things I think that you have to do.
Okay.
You have to talk to people. You have to talk to somebody. Because I went for years and I really didn't know what to do about it. And I didn't really think about talking to anybody, honestly. But you need to talk. And I remember we would come home from church. And again, this was also during, I was right and probably had some hormonal imbalances going on too with my, you know, the way I was feeling. But I remember sitting down and just feeling like everything was going to fall apart. I just knew it was. And I knew that everything was terrible. And I'd go in the service and everything would just seem terrible and it would get on my nerves. And then we'd come home and I would sit down and say, can you just please tell me everything's okay?
Yeah.
And you'd look at me and you'd say, yeah, everything's great. Oh, it was a great day. And you tell me all the things. And then I would realize, okay, I'm off kilter here. and it would help me. So I think you need to talk. You need to talk about it. And then you need to get a word from God about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not good. Yeah. It's not good to live that way.
Another comment you made about the fear is it, I think you said something like, you know, fear shows what we treasure. And when we think of fear and we think about it, it unveils our heart of what we really are worshiping. You want to comment on that?
Yes.
Your life?
That's right. It does. It shows what we treasure. It shows what's really important to us. And I would like to say that I was so concerned about the Lord. But the truth is, my fears in ministry were all about me and about you. Yeah. They were all about failure. They were all about success. They were all about those kinds of things. And that's not something to brag about. That's what the Bible calls fear of man.
Yeah. But it is common. And I think as
it's
we
common.
Talked,
it's very common, but it's something that we have to deal with.
Good. All right. So thank you. So that was really, so that first anchor, if we can put it out as anchors.
Yes.
Colossians 1:17 really helped you come to the understanding that as you are, you know, you don't want to lose your walk with God as you're doing the work of God. And this helps you realize the glory of the church has got to be to Christ and not to us.
Right.
So it's what he is doing through us, what we're not trying to do ourselves. Okay. Now let's go to a second verse that really meant a lot to you. Because I think it also revealed a lot about why we do what we do, okay, and who we are serving again. And so, you know, as we look at, again, pleasing man or the horizontal relationships or other things just about the struggles of ministry, again, focusing on ministry but making sure our walk with God is right. All right, so you mentioned in our discussion that Galatians 1:10, that is, as you were also studying the word, and God brought this at an important part of your ministry life. So if you would explain that. So anchor number one was Colossians 1:16-17. And now we want to go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. So tell us how that helped, Gretchen.
It helped because you cannot fear men or try to please men, people, and still do God's work.
Yeah, so the end of the verse says this, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ.
Right.
Okay, so I did not read the verse. I should have read it and then let go with it.
I've got here, it's Galatians 1:10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God?
Yeah.
Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So you can't do ministry and with fearing and trying to please people. You can't do ministry and then think that you're serving God, because you're not. I mean, that's what this verse says. It says, if I'm trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So it's a bad place to be in ministry, trying to do ministry and not be Christ's servant. Those two things don't go together.
So, all right, so let's just walk through practically. So this horizontal view that is not pleasing to God, okay, but when we're not being a bondservant of Christ, we've got the wrong view. Right. Some examples what would be some things that come to your mind about examples that either you faced or other women in the church may face that brings to light I'm still trying to please man and not God. Is there any specific thing in your ministry past that comes to light or comes to mind? I mean, I think of, the way the pastors, their children, the church expects them to be perfect children or they expect, I remember one thing that always puzzled me was ladies would tell you something they expected you to tell me you were a mouthpiece to me. And so you're trying to serve these people, right? Yeah. But at the same time, you've got to please God. Is there anything that comes to mind in this area that in our ministry that someone else may relate to?
I think for us, for us, it was mainly centered around the church and the church failing.
Okay.
And being embarrassed for the people that had supported us. And we had supporters. We had one supporter that was taught in a Christian college, didn't make anything, and would support us every month. Yeah. And I would think of people like that, and I would think about facing them and saying, thank you for giving your hard-earned money to us, but we just used it all. And there's nothing to show for it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mine was centered on that. There are other people that are just mortally fearful of their child doing something embarrassing. I kind of got used to my kids doing embarrassing things. I feel like we were pretty transparent about our kids. I mean, if they had really shamed us, that would have been, I don't remember fearing that much. But I know often, and I talk with pastors' wives quite a bit, and often they have the idea that they need to come across as being a, quote, a good testimony at all times.
Yeah.
And in other words, always looking a certain way or acting a certain way. I had that a little bit, but not that much to an extreme, but that can be paralyzing.
Yeah.
Because I found that, and maybe this could be a third thing to help, that being very transparent about my faults to a degree, as long as you aren't too personal.
Yeah.
I think being transparent and not being, defending myself and defending my children and that sort of thing really helped with that area. But I didn't know how to help in the area of, is this church going to make it? Because honestly, when we first came, I figured, well, we'll probably be here about 3 years and we'll be gone. And then we ended up staying 21 years.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think, again, for anyone doing church planting or replanting, revitalization, I think part of it is when the church is not well connected in the community and really nobody knows where you are, who you are, and you're trying to get this thing going, I think that also added to the fear, because there's always the constant reminder is nobody knows you're here.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, to me, that also drove some fear. Yeah, drove some fear that we never could make or never would make it or anything. And I really think that takes all the glory off of God, because, as you said, it is his church, and he's going to get the glory for how it's done. And all right, anything else you want to go through there in the passage in Galatians 1?
No, I think that's that covers it.
All right, so that's two of the three that kind of deal with the fear of man and pleasing man. But also in ministry, there's a third passage that's really meant a lot to you, and it really deals when really just hard things come. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe fear is not your problem now, but hard things do come. And really, I know Matthew 11, the first part of the chapters, you know, I've preached many times about, you know, sometimes Christians really don't know what Christ is doing. As John the Baptist was in prison and he said, sent his messengers to Christ and said, hey, are you the coming one? Do we look for another? So we know there are times of confusion, even in John the Baptist's life. And then at the latter part of that chapter, I'll let you comment on, but I know this whole book, this whole chapter of Matthew 11 has really meant a lot to you. So as you're thinking about the hard things of ministry, and again, the topic here of not losing your walk with God while doing the work of God, that you're staying focused in ministry, but focused the right way. All right, so Gretchen, go ahead with Matthew 11 and just say how God used this passage to minister to your heart during some difficult times.
Yes, and that is something that the hard things are, that's something I really was not prepared for ministry, the hard people problems in terms of like people, you know, especially in a new church, you don't have a lot to offer, and, you know, people may be leaving or just conflict or things like that. And this chapter, I just love this whole chapter because I first became interested when actually you were preaching it and you connected the fact that at the very end of Matthew 11 says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you connected that passage at the very end of Matthew with the fact that at the very end of Matthew 11, you connect it with at beginning of Matthew 11, John the Baptist is in prison. And as I started to study that whole chapter, and it's just fascinating because I do believe Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, that can be applied to salvation. With the Jews were burdened, you know, burdened by the law and that sort of thing. But I believe in this chapter, it's all about ministry. And there's just so much in there. You have John the Baptist. Talk about a hard situation. Now, I'm not comparing us to John the Baptist, but he really did become my hero. Because he only ministered for like a year. He gave everything to Christ.
Yeah.
And he ministered for about a year. And then Christ comes on the scene and he gladly gave up his crowd that were he gladly and said, he must increase, I must decrease. And then he was unjustly put into prison. And you can imagine the things that he was thinking. I mean, he knew the Old Testament that talked about the fact that the Messiah was going to come and release those out of prison. There are actually verses about that, about him bringing peace and all these kinds of things. And here he is in prison, And I mean, I don't blame him for getting a little confused and thinking, you know, is this, do I have it wrong? Yeah. And I think that the key is how he handled it, that he went straight to Christ. And, you know, the Pharisees, when they would talk to Christ and they didn't agree with something, they'd talk among themselves yeah. and grumble and all this stuff. But John just asked him. And the interesting thing, another interesting thing, too, is that Jesus didn't even go visit him. His disciples did. But yeah. Jesus didn't go visit him and say, look, I'm really sorry about this, you know, anything like that. And he wasn't bitter about it. But he just asked him. He said, are you the Christ? Just let me know. And he just had to know.
Yeah.
And so I just love it that Jesus, he didn't say, oh, I can't believe that he thought that way. No, he uplifted John. Later in the chapter, he said he's the great, and there's no man yeah. greater than John the Baptist, and just confirmed the fact sure. of his calling.
And then to the end of the chapter, verse 28.
Yes. Yeah. And then even in the middle, there are many other things that apply to ministry. You've got, he talks about the people who are dissatisfied mm-hmm. with Christ and John the Baptist in verses 16, 19. Mm-hmm. You know, that they were kids yeah. in the marketplace playing yeah. that yeah. portion. And then talked about privileged people who wouldn't hear the who wouldn't hear the gospel in verse 24. So, yes. And then at the end, and another thing that he says, blessed is he who's not offended.
There you go. Yeah.
This is yeah. right after John asked him the question. So, I think maybe that might be the key to the whole chapter, the fact or the whole concept that I'm thinking of, that I think we get offended because things don't go our way. Because people are mean to us, or people,
or the way we expected, or the way, yeah, or the way we expected them to go.
We expected them to. That's right.
Yeah.
And then in the end, he has, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest.
And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me.
Learn of me. Yes.
So while you're doing it, learn of Christ. And that's what you're yes. saying. So,
yes.
All right. So as you went through this, so, I mean, I know. I mean, this isn't a public relations thing for you, but this impacted you so much. You wrote a track.
Yes, I did.
About now rest. Yeah. And Crossway publishes it.
Yes.
And it's a good, and we use it a lot because it deals with a lot of people. I mean, a lot of aspects of life. But for the pastor's wife or those in ministry, so kind of. You know, let's land this. So tell me why. I mean, you did a great job telling us this chapter, but why this brought such, you know, peace to you, why this passage did?
Well, the track, by the way, the focus is on salvation, which right. is a okay. legitimate application. But that is not what brought peace to me, specifically at this point in my life. It was the fact that John, he gave his all to Christ and was willing to let Jesus use him. And it wasn't about him.
Okay. What about John the Baptist?
It wasn't about John. If it were about John, he would have been a little, you know, kind of mad when Jesus started taken all his disciples away. You know, he sure. would have been worried about his own fame or whatever. When he had all these people listening to him and all of a sudden they go to Christ, you know, to listen to Christ, and he would have been upset. And he's just such a tremendous example. And I don't understand why he's not in Hebrews chapter 11. Because to me, he's just such a wonderful picture of faith.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure the Lord has his reasons. But yeah. he never did any miracles. He wasn't in the, you know, famous people in Hebrews chapter 11. He was just 1 year. He lived his whole life. to for Christ, for his, had his ministry, and then he, and it did not end well either.
No.
And if it could have ended well for anyone, I would think it would have been John the Baptist, but right. It did not. So I think that, why would I think that I should have it any better? We have it a lot better.
Yeah.
He's just such a, and the rest of the chapter has a lot about ministry in it too, that is encouraging. You know, the other people
sure
have the same problems. Jesus and John both had the same problems that we are having today. Mm. And at the core, they're the same.
All right, so let me ask you this. So in the end of Matthew 11, what was it that really impacted you? Was it the invitation that Christ took such an interest in us? He gives us a personal invitation to come. Was it the rest that he promised? Was it the fact that we were told to learn of him? Was it that he described himself as gentle and humble in heart, and that his burden is light? Or was it all of that? Or was there one particular part of those promises of Christ's invitation here that meant so much to you?
Of course, all of it is wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
But I think the part that meant the most to me is that he says, come to me. He says, come to a person. Okay. He doesn't say, and there we go, back to his word is where we need to go. He says, come to me and I will give you rest.
Okay.
That it's he's the one. It's a byproduct. Okay. It's not, we don't look here and look there and look everywhere and fight for rest. You know, we go to him. And it's so very simple that, and that's why, and I think really these other verses that I mentioned to you are, it's like when you go to the word and he gives you a verse that you've read 1500 times and all of a sudden it pops out at you and he opens your eyes, that gives you rest. Going to him, learning that he is, he is the one who owns the church, not me. Learning that he holds all things together, and to have him tell me that through his word is very, very restful, I guess I should say.
Yeah. It's well said. So again, the topic is, you know, not losing your walk with God, or another way to put it is continually maintaining your time with Christ in his word, and that, you know, throughout ministry, there are going to be hard times.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we must focus on our walk with Christ. And I love what you said, because serving Christ in ministry is a privilege. Okay, it is. And it is not, but it's got to be the outflow of our walk with Christ. Otherwise, it just can't be performance-based, or you're going to be on a roller coaster and you're going to be living in the fear of man. You're going to be in that snare. And it cannot be simply to please somebody else. It can't be wives. You can't do this to please your husbands, or husbands, you can't serve in the ministry just to please your mother or your father or ordination counselor or anything like that. It's got to be your walk with Christ. And I know, and again, as Gretchen shared so well this afternoon, really, her anchors were in these three passages, and God brought them at the right time when she needed them in order for the ministry to go well. And we just challenge you to, you know, to stay in the word and to come unto me, go to Christ with your needs, and he will meet them. Okay, Gretchen, anything else you want to say in closing? Any other closing comments?
Yes, I would say, I think you could say from these verses that if your ministry does not flow out of your relationship with Christ, then you are not serving Christ. Mm, you're serving yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it is that clear. So it's very important. If you lose your walk with God, then you're not doing the work of God.
Yeah. And really, as we think through it, that kind of complements. I did a podcast with Dale Cunningham earlier in 2026 about the pastor's walk, that walk with God. Mm-hmm. If that's neglected, you know, you can't. So this you know, correlates with that. Mm-hmm. On the wife side, really for all of us. But I'm so thankful that God gave you those verses as you were studying His Word. And I want to challenge that God is that good to all of us. Mm-hmm. That in the hard seasons of ministry, or even in the good seasons of ministry, we cannot neglect our time with Christ and let Him feed our hearts so then we can feed others. All right, well said. Anything else you want to close?
No, that's it. That's it.
All right, so again, I want to thank Gretchen for being with us. Again, this is the final podcast with her on this topic. And again, if you've got other topics you want her to address from the pastor's wife's perspective, be happy to do that. And again, this was recommended through the board, the GFA board, so I thank them for that recommendation. And again, just want to thank GFA, because as Gretchen and I serve with GFA, it's a privilege to be with them. They're our mission board, as well as just all the work that goes into this podcast. Even as I look around this room, it was the hands here at GFA that made this podcast room happen. And then the labors that go into recording and editing and posting. And you know, I just get the privilege of sitting and talking. So if it's a blessing to you, we're very thankful for it. If it's not, then desubscribe or whatever you do. But we ask you to subscribe and send in comments, as so many of you do. So, Gretchen, again, thanks for being with me and kind of being, you know, just kind of exposing, you know, your weaknesses here. But we all have them. It's just a matter of dealing with them.
That's right.
All right. So it's been good. Thank you, Marsh Fant with GFA Missions, mfant@gfamissions.org. If you need to talk to me, you can call the church office or you can email me and we'll set up a time to talk. If any of you ladies would like to talk to Gretchen, again, email me, mfant@gfamissions.org, and we'll put you in touch with her. Okay, Gretchen, thank you.
Thank you.
GFA, thanks for sponsoring this. And to our listeners and watchers, thanks for your participation as well.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.